Once again, good morning in Kalimeras on this snowy Tuesday. It is mid-month, January 16th for the calendar year 2024. You've been with us since 7 o'clock this morning on Grecian Echoes, and the moment we've been waiting for, and we wait for each and every Tuesday at this time, Manny Frangidakis, 12 Points Wealth Management, joined by Stamati Sastra for a weekly market update. Gentlemen, Kalimera, and I hope you're weathering the storm quite well, both of you. Kalimera.
Kalimera. Kalimera, kalimera. It's beautiful out as long as you're inside.
That's it.
Exactly. It's pretty to look at.
It certainly is. It certainly is. And it's accumulating, I'll tell you that. It is outside of the studio. But anyway, Manny, it's all you. Lots of news, and of course, primaries last night. Not sure what the effect will be today, short term, but nonetheless, we'll defer to you.
Zero effect on the markets based off of, you know, the primaries and what took place in Iowa. Obviously, now at this point, people are shifting gears and paying attention to New Hampshire and trying to decide if, you know, Nikki Haley's got a better opportunity there to go against former President Donald Trump. And it does look that way based off of what I saw this morning. It does look like a more narrow range for her in New Hampshire, just trailing former President Donald Trump by a few percentage points as compared to what took place this past weekend, which she took third place. So that will be interesting to see how that shakes out. But again, I don't think we're going to see any interpretation from the market regarding the presidential election for quite some time. There will be volatility. There will be rhetoric that is depicted as having market effect, but we think that there's more formidable factors that are driving the market right now than the presidential election, and those continue to be inflation, the Federal Reserve and central bank actions across the world, the potential soft landing or hard landing here in the U.S. As it relates to recession and earnings season now as we continue to chug along with the banks reporting this week and at the end of last week.
That makes sense. It looks like today, at least, another low day, right? Another goes negative, starts at least, and negative, we'll see where it ends up.
Yeah, and I think, you know, look, you've had some, you know, some market internals, some things testing. You've got new money that came in with the start of the year. So the market's trying to digest and figure out which direction it wants to head in. Not a ton of news out there that are affecting headlines. You know, you last week, looking back, you had CPI and PCE that had some market moves. But at the end of the day, ended up being unchanged on both stocks and bonds. So not a heck of a lot of turmoil there. But what does bring into question is the projected rate cuts by the Federal Reserve. So you had a slightly hotter CPI last week as it relates to the inflation front, which didn't necessarily knock off any rate cuts for 2024, but potentially did push them back a little bit. I think that you're going to start to see people questioning that March rate cut if we get any more data points that continue to read as inflationary. And I think that is where the struggle for the market will be in 2024, is the realization of the rate cuts that we have priced in. And as we said last week, you know, the bond market is currently pricing in 5 rate cuts, where the Fed funds rate, meaning the dot plots of what the Federal Reserve is projecting, is only at 3. That's a pretty large discrepancy. And I think that even 3 could be questionable. We might not get 3 rate cuts. And that will be the story of the market for 2024.
Earnings season, I saw Goldman Sachs beat revenue. I saw Citigroup was in bad shape. And I think Bank of America was bad. So the banks were the first batch
yep.
of companies telling us where how the last quarter was.
Yep, and we'll continue to roll over the next coming weeks. We'll hear from tech. We'll hear from all industries. Banking looks somewhat healthy, but you never know. There could be another shoe to drop as it relates to the financial sector. As we learned in 2023, as related to Silicon Valley and First Republic, can't say for certain that our banking woes are completely behind us, as we are starting to see yields pick up again here. I do think that potentially you've put in a low in for yields already in January with 3.75. We expect that rates could, just due to the bond market, rise throughout 2024 with inflationary pressures persisting.
Yeah, and speaking of yields and rates, everybody who is looking for a house, they've seen a little bit drop on the mortgages. Spring is going to come up, but I think that you tell us, but I think the story here is the low inventory for the spring, right?
Yeah, I mean that's the story as it relates to housing, is that you haven't seen a drop in pricing, because who's going to trade in a 3% mortgage rate right now to absorb a 7%? So you have just such a small amount of supply on the market that is keeping prices elevated but volume suppressed. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I know one of the biggest narratives out there is that as soon as you see a drop in rates, that you are going to see the housing market skyrocket. I don't necessarily share that belief. I think that you could be surprised with how much supply comes onto market that potentially overwhelms demand. And that could, further decrease housing prices here in the United States.
Yeah, that would be, that's the big problem. And obviously, the other coin of the real estate is the commercial real estate. And that continues to be, a big, big unknown for the banks and the lending and all those levels.
That's right. Which is, back to why I don't know if we're out of the woods as it relates to the financial sector and its struggles as it relates to, insolvency and banking.
That's been, as you said, pretty much slow things. We still have the geopolitical issues with the Red Sea. I think another big company, I think, was Shell, that pretty much said we're not selling anybody there. Just go around.
Right.
I don't care.
And that's problematic, because that's going to cause inflation on the back end of 2024. I mean, you're talking about shipping costs, freight, trucking, rail, all getting more expensive, because if you have to go around the Cape of Good Hope and you can't get access to the East Coast as it relates to bringing in vessels, that means it's going to have to go back to California, probably to Long Beach and some of these ports that have been depressed since COVID. And now you're talking about either railing it or freighting it across the United States to get to where it needs to go. That's going to bring inflationary prices back to businesses. Which is the last thing the Federal Reserve wants to see, which I think could cause them to stay on pause for longer than expected, because they have to wait to see how these geopolitical risks shake out and how they affect prices.
That's part of it. And obviously, we had, speaking of geopolitical, just to keep us busy, we had the Taiwan elections the weekend, and China is not too happy about it. So the last thing we want is China being aggressive there.
Yeah, I think that they might, do some saber rattling, and maybe they do some military activities in the South China Sea. But I don't think we will see China make a move on Taiwan this year. Potentially not for the next couple of years, as they are domestically dealing with their own challenges. China's not in a position of strength right now to be able to go out there and take over Taiwan. They're going to have to use, geopolitical lines and, smooth things out with allies and whatnot to get there in some capacity and to keep the U.S. from gaining full control. But we don't expect that China makes a move this year just due to the amount of weakness that they're facing in their proximity sector and their financial sector. They're just not in a position of strength right now to make a move.
Yeah. The last thing I want to touch up on is the Davos meetings every year. The rich, powerful, the politicians, they
yeah,
gather.
It's the meeting. It's the meeting of the most disconnected people from the world.
What do you really think?
So that's that's a lot of talk about. Last year it was all about the last 2 years.
Climate.
It was all about crypto and Bitcoin, and that was the talk of the last 2 years. Now this year everybody's talking about AI. So
yeah, AI. There's obviously ESG and COP22, and that's in a big rhetoric that's always been spelled out at Davos. Is you know, getting fossil fuels under control and having, new alternative sources of energy. So, yeah, they're pontificating on how the world could look way out in the future and discussing the struggles that nations face across the globe and how they could be more interconnected. But at the end of the day, I don't think much really comes out of the world of Davos unless you are a participant and a CEO of one of these massive Fortune 500 companies.
It's a good, I guess it's a good way to, as you said, to meet with other disconnected people.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a touche on that one. That could be one of the all-time favorites. I'm going to bust your chops on that one off air sometime. I guarantee you that, Manny.
Well, right. Their chops, not mine.
All right, listen, I know it's a financial program, but we are in the heat of the football season, and I do enjoy, especially from your perspective as a former, you know, NCAA football player, a lot of great football going on. Patriots, you know, they made the move. The era is behind us. I thought it was a good move, time to move on and part ways, and that's happened. And then some pretty good playoff football going on. I like Buffalo. That's my favorite team.
Yeah, a lot of surprises. Be curious to know if, Bill Belichick is already in Arlington, Texas. I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas makes a move and brings him in to replace Mike McCarthy after what was a devastating performance by the Cowboys. And going into that, people always discussed that it didn't matter what Mike McCarthy did during the season, that he would be judged on the Cowboys' last game. And that's a bad game to be judged on if you're a head coach of one of the top and actually the most valuable franchise on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be surprised if Bill gets a phone call and he becomes he has a star on his jacket and instead of a Patriots logo or some other team's logo. Regarding the Patriots, I think they made, it was the right move to separate from Belichick. Not 100% sure on Gerard Mayo. Youngest head coach, no real experience, comes from the Belichick tree. Curious to see how they're going to handle the offensive struggles and, who potentially is the offensive coordinator, whether it's Bill O'Brien staying aboard or somehow Josh McDaniels coming back into the fold or another individual to be named later. And then the GM position, who's going to be selecting that draft pick in a couple months now that we know that we have the third overall pick. So a lot of uncertainty there, but certainly excited for what Wild Card Weekend brought. Tampa yesterday was an exciting game to watch, really just put the beat down on Philly. And that's another team where Belichick could land is Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Given their ownership's ties to the New England market.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how these plays shakes out. Obviously, some blockbuster names are out there as free agents, and it'll be interesting to see where they land.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a good offseason. It's going to be a good postseason. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. I think it's probably going to be, San Francisco. The other NFC team, maybe it's Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's San Francisco, Detroit in the final versus, and then on the AFC side, I think you're probably going to end up with Buffalo and Baltimore. And I think your Super Bowl will end up being San Francisco versus Baltimore with a tilt going toward the 49ers.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. It's not what I would like to see the outcome as, but who knows? Those are the favorites. That's how I look at it. Yeah. Anything else, Manny? Closing comments, Stamati?
It's going to be an interesting year. I'd get prepared for volatility. I think one of the things that what I would leave investors with is that you started to see some weakness in those tech names, Microsoft, Apple, Alphabet, Tesla, Netflix, NVIDIA. If you take a drawdown in one of those names, even if, let's say Tesla drops 10 to 15%, which could happen in 2024, as we've seen the stock price correct pretty drastically already, the whole market will go down with it. And I think one of the things that people really need to be aware of is that when you own the S&P 500 or one of these indexes now, you really only own about 7 stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a lot of diversification. So if you see some weakness there, even if the economy doesn't go in recession, you might not be satisfied with the results. I would take this particular period of time to take a look at what you have in your portfolio and potentially what needs to be changed, because the last 10 years won't rhyme with this decade. And I think you're getting set for a period of active management outperforming passive management. and particularly the 493 names that haven't participated in the last couple of years, outperforming those seven names. And that's how you probably want to be positioned at this point in time, just given the valuations.
Yeah, let me just say, to discuss those names with Manny Frangidakis, give him a call, 617-212-8343, 12 Points Wealth Management. Manny Frangidakis joins us each and every Tuesday along with Stamatis Sastra to give us a little pulse on the week's market. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Naste pada kala. Stay warm. Stay inside. It's still snowing. And God willing, we'll regroup 1 week from today right here on WNTN Radio. Thanks, guys. Yes, us.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.